SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is SportsRage. I am Morency. It's amazing what winning will do. Winning as a better, you'll feel in a better mood, but it's funny. I'm just seeing the Canucks right now. The sound is down, obviously, but what a difference it makes. Like, last week, man, like, some of these guys were on the verge of tears, and, like, they were really, like, they looked like Tom Brady. They were gutted. Like, they were gutted, and you just see the like, in the beaming, like, Boudreaux's beaming and smiling right now at the presser. The Canuck players, I just saw, they just showed, who was it? Was it Brock? They just showed Brock, and, you know, Brock was all smiles. Like I said, the Canucks deserve better, but you also create your own luck, right? So, whatever, a win's a win. You get back on track and get back in this thing right now. People were panicking too early. If you'll notice, I never said, like, oh, yeah, fire everybody and all this type of stuff. I got mad and said, go get Connor Bedard, but Vancouver, Vancouver, they're too good to be the worst team in the league. You know what I mean? Like, they would have to, like, it's impossible. Like, in the end, like, Vancouver won't be the worst team. Like, even if they traded a bunch of players, they're still too good, like, to be the worst team. So, even though they were 0-6, they really weren't going to be the worst team in the league, right? And another thing is, too, it's really early, and a lot of teams in the West are struggling. So, like, it's sort of like it's like the NFL. Like, Vancouver, when Vancouver were 0-6, they were literally, like, 2 points out of a playoff spot. So, like, people panic a little bit too soon. But if you recall, they had a bad preseason. And preseason matters in hockey, actually. Some leagues it doesn't. The NHL, you can sort of get a grip of what's going on with a team. And if you recall, you remember I played the Canucks over 92.5 points, and I said, I brought it up, I think, to Cam, and I brought it up to a couple of people. I said, man, I got buyer's remorse, man. Like, I said, I'm worried about this Canuck play before the year started. So I'm not shocked the way things have started. They always do this, though. They always do this. Remember during the pandemic year, same thing. I think they lost like 9 of 12 or something, and then they won like 16 of 18. Like, they're a very streaky team, so I think we can make some money on the Canucks moving forward a little bit here. We're going to get into some college football with Brent Beard in a couple of minutes. Normally he joins us on Fridays, but not anymore, really, so I guess he doesn't join us on Fridays anymore. It's always Wednesday or Thursday. And it actually works out. He's a really busy dude, right? And Brent, this is his wheelhouse, man. Like, if you follow Brent on Twitter, if you don't, you should on Twitter. But at Brent Beard, you always see pictures. Like, he's big in the Florida, Georgia communities. Like, he's always speaking at the Gator Club, and you know what I mean? And this is a big one for him. Like, Brent doesn't go to every football game. He went to, like, Alabama and to A&M, I think. He goes to the big ones in the SEC, but this is a big one, right, for the city of Jacksonville. And he lives in Jacksonville. There's talk about taking a game out of Jacksonville. And we'll talk about it with Brent. It generates a lot of money for the city, that game. It's actually Georgia. Georgia's pushing to stop playing the game on a neutral field. Georgia wants to alternate the game. They want to turn it into like a home and like series, like 1 year at Florida, 1 year at Georgia. They don't want to play a neutral field. In other words, they want the money, right? They don't like losing the home game. That's what it really comes down to. But we'll get into it with Brent. That's the problem with college football. You know, a lot of the tradition is just sort of getting shredded right now and torn apart. Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between, we're throwing it down. Countdown to first pitch is on. The World Series is set. We've discussed this quite a bit, but if you're just joining us right now for the first time, I do like the Houston Astros. I am Gabriel Morency. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, 97.1 The Freak in Dallas, Texas, the Mightier 1090 ESPN radios, the 50,000-watt juggernaut SoCal style. We've got Brent Beard joining us in a couple of moments. We'll talk college football. Brent is a Heisman Trophy voter and big SEC guy, First Coast News college football analyst. And he's already there. He's going to be at the world's biggest outdoor cocktail party. I don't think they call it that anymore, but I do. Like, really, is that the world that we're in right now? You can't call it something a cocktail party? But it's a big the big drunk fest. That is Georgia and Florida. Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia Bulldogs, man. These guys have been, everybody's as dominant as they have been last year, but people just aren't really paying as much attention to them. But the game of the week this week, Tennessee and Kentucky. Will Levis versus Hendon Hooker. Like, Will, listen, man, some people think that Will Levis could potentially be maybe the top quarterback taken. I don't think he will be. I think it'll be CJ Stroud. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those deals. Like, Will Levis is a big-time NFL prospect. And a lot of the other quarterbacks this year have fallen by the wayside as far as, you know, the big-time prospects. You know what I mean? As time goes on, the veneer comes off a little bit. It really hasn't with Will. And Hendon Hooker is the one whose stock has risen the most. Hendon Hooker is plus 200 to win the Heisman right now. All right, so you got Hendon Hooker, who now potentially has worked his way into the top 10, top 5, who knows, right? I mean, what Hendon Hooker is doing is very similar to what Joe Burrow did. And we know where Joe Burrow went in the draft. So, and they got Will Levis, Kentucky, Tennessee. This is lit. Let's do it. Brent Beard steps up and in. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Thursday night throwdown continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency, Sirius XM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, 97.1 The Freak in Dallas, Fort Worth. And of course, the mightier 1090 ESPN radio, the 50,000 watt juggernaut, SoCal style. Let's talk SEC football as there's a month left in the college of football regular season, and it's getting real. We're now just a couple of days away from our first playoff rankings as well. Let's send it to a man that's going to be taking in the world's biggest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville, Florida. First Coast News Heisman Trophy voter Brent Beard steps up and in to join us. Brent, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Gabe, my pleasure too. We are welcoming the number one team in the country to Jacksonville in a few days, and the Florida Gators, who is the number one fan team, shall we say, in Jacksonville. If you ask me who the top fans that they look at, if we voted, Florida would be one and Georgia would probably be two. So in Jacksonville, and Gabe, with this backdrop, not only on the football field, but how much longer can we keep the game in Jacksonville is a big, big story here, as you can imagine.
And that's a question that I wanted to ask you. So Kirby Smart has talked about wanting to play the game in their respective home stadiums. What do you think is going to happen? Is it going to be a compromise in which maybe it'll be home and then Jacksonville, or is Jacksonville going to lose the game? Well, how is this going to play out in the future years, Brent?
Well, I think another thing that may happen, Gabe, would be that the city of Jacksonville throws an unbelievable amount of money and keeps the game here. Gabe, this game makes for the city of Jacksonville $20 million. That there are 70 plus thousand in the stadium, and this is no exaggeration. And I know you've been at games like this. There are probably within a 3-mile radius of the stadium on game day, there are probably 150,000 people downtown.
Yeah, and the trickle-down effect, trickle-down economics, I guess we can call it, as you stated, from people making a couple of bucks to letting them park on their property to local restaurants, bars, hotels, workers, taxi drivers, Uber drivers. We can go on and on. It's a shame, isn't it, that, listen, I understand money runs the world that we live in, but when I see these universities talk about tradition through one side of their lips and then destroy tradition for a couple of extra bucks when they're already rich. You know what I'm saying? It's never enough, is it? Right? I guess that's the moral of the story.
Well, it is. There's no doubt about that. Now, here's the other thing with this situation. Kirby Smart has been very consistent in saying that he wants the game moved because it affects his recruiting. Well, here's the reality.
I don't really understand that. You won the national championship and have the best recruits in the country. So, you know, your narrative sucks, Coach.
It does. Gabe, I've never bought that for a minute. I think that's unmitigated foolishness.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Brent. Just for people tuning in, that's right. He said because when Michigan plays Ohio State or Alabama plays Auburn, they can invite the recruits to their stadium, right, and showcase what their university is all about. But it's preposterous. Georgia playing a million big games, and you don't have any problems recruiting.
No. Look, Georgia in the last 5 years has been either 1, 2, or 3 in recruiting. So that game is not affected their recruiting at all. Look, if you're Gabe, if Kirby wants to say, we just want to have another home game, what about that? I don't have any trouble with that. But when you say it affects recruiting, it doesn't. So, but as you know, this is a game of streaks. Steve Spurrier dominated at Florida. Vince Dooley dominated at Georgia. And as of late, Georgia with Kirby Smart has dominated the series themselves.
They have won. The Georgia Bulldogs have won 4 of the last 5 contests that they have played. For the record, FanDuel has the Georgia Bulldogs listed as 22.5-point favorites, with the total being 56.5. And although Florida is not the powerhouse that they once were, there's no way that Georgia isn't going to be aware that they can get bit by the Gators. They lost just a couple of years ago. But for those of you, and me and Brent have talked about this, when you're the best, you don't get talked about as much anymore. That's because you're beating everybody. You're not on TV. Remember, they put Georgia on TV a couple of weeks ago, and people complained. Oh, why are we watching this? Why did they put another game on, right? They're favored by 30 points. Why are we watching this? But just for the record, I don't know if they're as good as last year. Because, listen, I don't know if they have to be. Every team is different, but I do know this. They're only giving up 9.1 points per game, Brent, and I know they're scoring 41.1, so I know that's pretty damn good, bro.
Yeah, well, and there's no doubt about that. No, I don't think they're as good as they were last year either, but and here's the thing. We're going to know very quickly, Gabe, next 3 weeks for Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky. They've got Mississippi State yet to play, too. So if Georgia is going to win the East and go to Atlanta and continue to be the number one team, Gabe, they're going to earn it with that schedule, aren't they?
Coach Billy Napier, of course, his first year in Gainesville, having a hard time on the defensive side of the football right now. You know, the key stat that catches my eye as far as the Florida Gators, and I know their offense has been inconsistent, but they've allowed opponents to convert on 52.6% of their third downs, which is 130th out of 131 FBS teams. Just only the only team worse, the Colorado Buffaloes. That's not Florida Gator football.
No, and that has been an issue for this Gator defense a whole year. Look, it's not that they don't have good players, because frankly, they do. I'd still say Ventrell Miller is very good. Gervin Dexter is too. Amari Burney's made some plays. Britton Cox has made some plays. But as a unit, they have really struggled at this point. They're 3-11 in their last 14 SEC games. Look, I'm not saying they're going to win this game. I think they can stay in the game for a while. They do get Osiris Torrance back on the offensive line. That's a real help for them. And obviously, Anthony Richardson, Gabe's got to play well. And what I mean by that is, Gabe, I don't think necessarily he needs to throw for 500 yards. But what he needs to do is don't throw the ball to the other color jersey. And he has a couple of those in him every game. So, look, if he could, Gabe, if he threw for 175 and ran for, 125, they could be in this game for quite a while.
Brent Beard joining us, First Coast News from Jacksonville, Florida. The countdown to kickoff is on Georgia and Florida. Brent is also a Heisman Trophy voter. Just for the record right now, guys, C.J. Stroud is the favorite at plus 100. Hendon Hooker is all the way down to plus 200 right now. Caleb Williams, 12-1. My guy, Blake Corum, 12-1. Bryce Young, 25-1. Bo Nix, Don't look now, but the Ducks haven't lost since their season opener to Georgia, actually. There's still a lot of real estate. This is like the Kentucky Derby, isn't it, with the Heisman? You're the voter? They're not even down the first stretch, are we yet, Brent? No. I'm not going to ask you to disclose anything, but it's like I said, is there still undecided, like you're an undecided voter, so to speak, right now?
No doubt. I never vote until the Monday after the championship game. Gabe, I've seen this. You've seen this. Guys that really get off to hot starts in September and October and just disappear in November when they play tougher teams. So the best thing to do for Heisman voters, and most of them do, let the season play out.
Now, Will Levis is not going to win the Heisman, but it's interesting because he could be taken higher in the NFL draft than Hendon Hooker is.
Yeah.
Right? Or at least that was the thought process coming in to the season. But I look forward to your take on this game because, wow, two big-time quarterbacks. Super fun game between the Kentucky Wildcats and the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday night. This is Sports Rage. More with Brent Beard on the other side. I am Gable Morenci. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network, Brent Beard, First Coast News, college football analyst, Heisman Trophy voter, joining us. We're taking a look at the big games in the SEC, and there's a couple of massive contests, including Kentucky and Tennessee. So let's get after it as far as this football game is concerned. Sounds like Kentucky are a little bit healthier right now, Brent, coming out of a bye week, and they've got some of their troops back.
This is going to be a really good game. And look, people who don't think Kentucky can win this game, they could. We've talked about Will Levis. To me, the difference maker in this game is Chris Rodriguez, the Kentucky running back who's capable of running for 200 yards in a game. Tavion Robinson, the wide receiver, Kentucky's been good. Berrien Brown is a freshman wide receiver who's been an unbelievable as a kick returner. Kentucky's got some of the better linebackers in the league, although Jacquess Jones, he is out for the game. But Kentucky has got the type of team that could slow Tennessee down with some ball control. Gabe, pay real close attention to this. Kentucky might have the worst offensive line in the SEC as far as allowing sacks. And can they protect Will Levis in this game? We still don't know exactly if Cedric Tillman's going to play, the wide receiver, and Jalen McCullough, the safety for Tennessee. Now, that's not like – now, Tennessee's got Jalen Hyatt. Well, we get that. And the game's in Knoxville. But and Gabe, would it shock you at all if Kentucky won this game?
They've been playing with house money, too. Let's not forget, it was a 45-42 game last year.
Yes.
Essentially the same rosters. Let's be real.
No,
you know what I mean? I get it. Tennessee are better this year, Brent, but it's still the same rosters for the most part. Listen, you can't tell me that Will Levis doesn't have a chance to win a football game.
Absolutely.
I think Kentucky will be able to score. I don't know if they want to trade points, but I think they could. Like, they'll be able to comfortably score in this football game, and their defense is good enough to come up with a stop or two, right?
Yes.
It's a dangerous game for the Vols.
Astute point on your part. I don't think they can win a track meet, but I think they could slow the ball down, keep the ball for what, Gabe? Three and a half to 5 minutes every possession.
If they want a 30-27 game, don't they? Like, that kind of game.
Yes. They don't want 52-50, do they, Gabe?
No, especially, you know what I find fascinating, Brent, as a betting man, the over-under in this game is 61.5.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of feels light when we consider, Brent, that the Tennessee Volunteer offense actually score 50 points a game on their own.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah, that listen, I'd be all over that as far as but again, what that's probably saying to us is that Kentucky's defense is solid and that they can control the clock with Chris Rodriguez.
Yeah, you can't disagree with that. And Hendon Hooker's season is just a special one. It actually really does remind me of the Joe Burrow run from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, which really Joe Burrow,
you know what I mean? He was the quarterback, well, you know, the year before, you know, flew under the radar. What, they won 7 games. You know, he transferred from another school. He was a little bit older. And then he just sort of has an historic season. Now, I think Joe's numbers were a little gaudier and flashier. But when you look at Hendon Hooker, 2,408 total yards, 18 touchdown passes. And what amazes me is just the one interception. That's just so impressive.
It is. And it's because, but people forget this. I mean, Hooker's 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
When you've got, Gabe, when you've got a quarterback that is that old, what that tells me is he's more mature than an 18-year-old would be as far as a quarterback. That has really paid off for him.
Do you think Tennessee survive a close one? What do you think happens here?
I think probably they do. I am really tempted to pick Kentucky here. And look, Gabe, how mature is Tennessee? Or do they think they can win this game and they're looking ahead?
Can they handle success?
And spent half the week looking at Georgia at this point. If they did, they could spell trouble.
Brent Beard joining us. Brent, a story, and I'm happy for the kid. And he's not lighting it up statistically, but he's playing winning football for his football team. And I'm talking about Spencer Rattler. Don't look now, man, but the Gamecocks are now a top 25 football team for the first time since week 2 of the 2018 season. They're very proud of that after the adversity that they faced. And I'll tell you what, they've got some nice wins under their belt, don't they, with the Kentucky win as well as Texas A&M.
The thing they have done, and they did this last year, is they won a lot of these 50-50 games. And like you've got Missouri coming up, and that would be, it's kind of an even game, but they win it. Rattler is still trying to learn the SEC. The guy that's made the difference for them is Marshawn Lloyd. Remember, he's a running back that had the ACL. He's healthy now. And Lloyd's capable of getting 100 yards in any game. And the other thing, we don't talk about this enough, but because Shane Beamer's who he is from the family he's from, they're really good on special teams. They block punts. They return kicks for touchdown. And Gabe, in a game like this, how much of a difference will that make?
I think a big difference. I like the Gamecocks here against the Tigers in this matchup, the 3-4 Tigers. These games, you know, it's not just about the teams winning a championship. Like, if you look at South Carolina, imagine if these guys finished 10-2, 9-3. Yeah. That's a big-time season for them, and nobody saw that coming. And if you're a program like Mizzou, a lot of these schools, it's bowl season time, right? Yes. Like, it's one-by-one, like these 50-50 games. You better be able to get the W, otherwise you're going to be on the outside looking in. And speaking of which, who would have ever imagined that the Texas A&M Aggies would have a 3-game losing streak this year?
Not only do they have a losing streak, but Gabe, they can't score. That's a thing that is mystifying. I still think Connor Weekman, the freshman, ends up with them. But again, the thing that amazes me here, their offense has scored less than 25 points in 9 straight games versus Division I schools.
Wow.
And you've got Jimbo Fisher, who is your quarterback whisperer at this time, too. And the other thing is A&M hasn't had a Division I 300-yard passing game since October of 2020, Gabe. 2020. The struggle is real. They kicked off some players on the team this week. They had some offensive linemen who were hurt at the same time.
And what happened, Brent? Were there a bunch of kids on the team that wanted to basically stop playing this year to redshirt? They said,
I think some, yeah. Is it similar to what's going on at Auburn? I think that's a little bit of it too. But they end up some kind of a locker room incident that they kicked 3 of them off.
Yeah,
is the problem.
Because I saw Fisher doing the old "we want people to want to be here" routine right earlier this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Gabe, now.
Hey, money can't buy you love, eh, Brett? Or wins in the SEC, brother. I tell you what, this proves it.
Better believe it. Now that $85 million buyout that Jimbo's got right now is helping him. But Gabe, did you see Ole Miss goes to A&M this week? Did you see Lane Kiffin's comment on this? This was Wednesday on the all the coaches have got a teleconference. And you remember DJ Durkin was at Florida. He was at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. And then he went to A&M as defensive coordinator. Well, Lane was asked about DJ Durkin. Lane said, well, we tried to keep him, but we got outbid, which is common theme with that school. How many people can say that and get by with that?
I love that somehow he's like the little guy. All these other schools are doing this. And hey, listen, just because they lost that LSU game, they're still in control of their own destiny.
They are.
Right now. And what about this game? Hard-pressed to see A&M just flip the switch, isn't it?
It really would be.
Haynes King will be his starting quarterback.
Yes, and at least maybe until he's replaced by Connor Weedman.
Yeah.
Now, keep this in mind with this game. Zach Evans did not play last week, the transfer from TCU. Whether he plays or not, it's going to be huge. And Gabe, Jackson Dart's coming on, the USC transfer that you know a lot about, that is at Ole Miss. It's been slow. And it's a transition. We need to be fair with him about this. But by the end of the year, under Lane Kiffin, Dart could be, listen, he could be a pretty solid quarterback.
If the Rebels were on the table for the rest of the year and LSU lose one more game, the Rebels actually would go to the SEC Conference Championship game.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there, like as a Michigan fan from last year, one loss won't eliminate you. You know what I mean? Right. Like you need somebody else to lose in your conference, but you're not automatically out of it with one loss. And I think Ole Miss are a classic example of this. And I do think they're going to get it done. We should note the Aggies haven't lost four straight games since 2005, and Ole Miss are 0-4 all time at College Station. But I think that's going to change, Brent. Brent Beard, man, time just flies by super fast, Brent.
Really
I know
does.
You're super busy. Listen, you're a big wheel down there at the Cracker Factory, as they say, with the Gator crowd and with the Georgia Bulldogs. I know you're going to be on site all weekend long. I look forward to seeing the pictures and the coverage of the world's biggest outdoor cocktail party, Brent.
Dave, always enjoy it. We're getting into November where the contenders separate themselves during that time, Gabe. It's going to be a tremendous month, to say the least.
The separation Saturdays where the pretenders are separated from the contenders.
That's right.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You never go down to the track, put it all on a bus.
Why don't you put it in the bank?
The bank? This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
Oh, you mean you want to lose it?
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Brett Beard for kicking it with us, the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. Don't forget, we throw it down weekdays at 6 o'clock Eastern as well. No rest for the wicked. 6 until 9 Eastern. SiriusXM channel 159. Where we're kicking it right now. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. Countdown to first pitch is on the World Series. And we've talked about the World Series quite a bit, but just once again to recap how we're approaching this. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but Gene Segura of the Philadelphia Phillies today. The Phillies left today to go to Houston. So they left today and Gene Segura wore his uniform, which I actually like. You know, it reminds you, you know, it's like Little League, reminds you of being a kid and stuff. You're all excited. You get a uniform on, you know what I mean? You get on the bus, you get on whatever, you get in the car.
But yeah, so Gene Segura wore his uniform. He was the only one that did. But I like it. You know, to me, it's like, all right, he's ready to play. This guy, you know, he's ready to ball. I like Houston. When I saw that, I was like, ugh. Philly are dangerous, man. I really think that tomorrow night's game is really critical. I know it's always cliche to say, oh, the first goal in the Hog in the playoffs. Well, I'll tell you, the first goal is really important tonight. Like, there's a lot of sort of low-hanging fruit cliches in sport, but the 2-3-2 format is twisted. I don't like it, but it's a distinct advantage for the visiting team, man. So, like, Philadelphia, they just need to get one, and then they go home, and they can win the World Series. It's a tough spot for Houston to be in, but the thing is, if Houston are able to win the first two games at home, Philadelphia are in a lot of trouble, right? So game one is just so critical. Justin Verlander, you know, it's Verlander's a stud. He's obviously a future Hall of Famer. Yet we have seen at times, not often, but at times, Verlander has been hit hard early in a baseball game. Like most of these big-time legendary aces and stuff, if you're ever going to get to them, you get to them early. And we've seen it with Verlander. I mean, against Seattle. Like I said, it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often. And really, he's been money. I'm looking right now at his last six starts. He's only given up more than two runs once. Yet one of them was in that playoff game, right? He got lit up by Seattle. Let's just call it out for what it is. He gave up 10 hits and four innings against Seattle in his first playoff start. He was money against the Yankees. He struck out 11 Bronx Bombers. Yet the Yankees, I think I could strike out somebody's Yankees. So not taking anything away. But I do trust him. So it's one of these. It's funny because I sort of swung on this. At first, I was like, you know what? If Philly can win, they can get to Verlander. You know what I mean? In the first inning type of thing. You know, Schwarber goes deep or Harper sort of set the tone. Oh, boom, two-run shot. But as this game approaches, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Verlander is going to deal tomorrow night. I think that Verlander knows that the window is not going to be open forever. Now, listen, he's already won a World Series, so it's not as though he's never won before, but to really sort of cement his greatness and his status amongst the greatest of all time, which, you know what I mean? He really is. I mean, you look at the guy's career. He's been, you know, this guy's had a great career. He's never won the World Series MVP. Like he's, you know what I mean? He's done everything in his career. Cy Young. The Cy Youngs, the Kate Uptons, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he's made a ton of money. He's won a World Series. He won an American League Championship Series MVP. But he's never won a World Series MVP. And I'm not saying that, you know what I mean, he's driven by that. I think he just wants to win a World Series. But if he pitches well tomorrow, he gets the win, and then the series goes five games, he'll pitch again, and he gets the win, he's going to be the MVP. If the Astros, you know what I mean? I think the Astros are going to win in five or six. It doesn't mean he's the only one you can play, but he is 10-1. He is 10-1. I've already got the Astros, and I often forget, actually. But the thing is, me having the Astros doesn't do you any good. Right? I always hate, like, when people, I have guests on to do that. Well, I got it at this number. It's like, yeah, well, it doesn't help the people tuning in right now. But I did it when I bet on the Dodgers. I bet on the Dodgers a lot this year, but I know it was like 2 months ago. It was like literally in the summertime. The Astros were still plus 350, and I was like, this is ridiculous. We know the Astros are going to the World Series. I didn't put enough on it, though. I just got it up to like $1,000. So I do have the Astros coming into this thing, but I do like the Astros to win in five or six games. And in five, it pays plus 400. In six, it pays plus 350. I don't think they'll sweep them. They could, though. You know what I mean? They could. This is why. And I'm going to lay the minus 1.5. I'm going to lay it because I don't think it goes seven games. And listen, if Philadelphia wins, then whatever. I still don't think it goes seven games. If Philadelphia wins, this thing goes like five or something. Like, if Philadelphia is going to win, you know, and it's the same thing. I'm dead serious, too. If you like the Phillies, guys, that's how it's going to go down. Like, if the Phillies are going to win, it's not going back to Houston. You know what I mean? Like, the Phillies, let's say the Phillies go in, boom, they win game one, they lose game two, they go back home, and they win three in a row, and then they're World Series champions. Let's say somehow they steal the first two in Houston, and Houston are screwed going back to Philadelphia. I don't think it goes seven, but I also, I respect Philadelphia, and I think they're dangerous, but at the same point in time, I think they might have peaked. In the way that San Diego peaked against the Dodgers, I'm starting to think about that. That, you know, Bryce Harper hit 500 against the Braves. And then Bryce Harper hit 400 against San Diego. Is he really going to do this again? And they can't win without him doing that. All right? Like, is he really, you know what I mean? I could sort of see Philadelphia getting kind of not overwhelmed, but like suddenly they're getting frustrated by Houston. But Philadelphia had a lot of power. Like this, it literally and legitimately is an interesting series from a baseball perspective. I know, you know, a lot of people don't like, well, not a lot of people. Everybody hates Houston. And a lot of people don't care about Philadelphia or don't like Philadelphia. You know what I mean? You know, I don't look at Philadelphia like some Cinderella story or anything like that, right? They spend a ton of money, this team. You know, like we all know about how Philly fan are. Like, this is no, like, Cinderella or anything like that. But just from a baseball perspective, it really is a cool series, interesting series. So, to recap, and just looking at game one right now, total is 6.5. Verlander's -166 at FanDuel right now. Aaron Nola's +140. Total is 6.5. It's shaded to the over at -124. I don't know if it's going to be this game, but it's not going to be the Valdez game because Valdez doesn't give up runs, right? Valdez is like steady, man. Like, you know what I mean? That's the whole thing with Valdez. Verlander might, you know what I mean, have a 12 shutouts and a shutout, or he might give up 6 runs. You know Valdez is just going to go 6, and he's going to give up 1 run type thing. So it's a little bit different, but there's too many good hitters between these two teams that I got to believe that there's going to be more overs than unders, even with the good pitching. Like, there's too much, you know what I mean? There's too much power. A couple of guys get on base, especially in that ballpark in Houston. Houston crush home runs there. Imagine Schwarber in that park, Harper in that park, Hoskins in that park. There's going to be home runs. I got to believe it. So I'm not, I was going to say running to the window, but what window are we running to? I'm not rushing to click it, we should say, right? I'm not rushing to click the total here. Normally I'd be like, take the under and stuff. A lot of times in game ones of these series, it goes over too. But I do like Houston in this game. And here's another angle as well that you can play, which I don't have a problem with. Like I said, you're always, you know, we're looking at ways to lay, not lay the -190. So as far as the MVP is concerned, we're going with Justin Verlander and we're going with Jeremy Pena. Pena's 18-1, Verlander's 10-1. But there's different ways of approaching this, and here's an interesting one, in which game one. So how about this? The Houston Astros to win game one and win the series, +110 right now. That's plus money. That's a good bet. If you like the Astros, right? Like, you take the Astros in game one, you bet on the Astros in game one, but you also play this bet. Astros to win game one and win the series, and then boom, you got yourself a +110 in your back pocket for the Astros to win the series. You know what I mean? Plus money opportunities. Then you can just take the Phillies if you want it at plus money, and you have plus money on both, right? Like, plus, you know, any of the, we're looking for plus money opportunities. So that's not bad. Houston Astros to win game one and win the series, +110. I do think they're going to get it done. I think Houston are going to win the two games in Houston. I think they know the importance of this. I don't think they're going to let it slip. They're very good at home. They've won before, but it's almost like they haven't, in a sense. right? And you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of that Dodger vibe about them. It really is. It's like the Dodger vibe. It's like the Kansas Bill Self vibe, in which this is their fourth World Series in 6 years. They've only won once. You know what I mean? Like, three to say, you know what, we've been to three World Series in 5 years and we won once. It's okay. Okay, you're 1-2. It's not that bad. You know what I mean? Like, when you know, you start to get into, man, we're 1-3. We only won once in 6 years. It's pretty frustrating. Even though they did win. But the thing is, let's be real, it's tainted their win. Even though I'm a Dodger fan and they beat the Dodgers, I don't think they were doing it in the World Series. They weren't banging on trash cans and stuff like that and whatever. I always thought that story was a little bit overblown. It was kind of extreme what they did, but put it this way. Like, they got called out all the time, the Astros, for that. Like, the Boston Red Sox got caught using those Apple iWatches a couple of years ago. Like, that should have been a bigger scandal. Like, they were communicating with each other and sending, like, stealing signals and looking at the watch, which was pretty slick, right? That should have been a bigger story. It's just funny how, like, the trash can part of it, like, I don't know, resonated with people. But trust me, baseball, they all are up to stuff, right? They're all, and you know what I mean? They all do. Like, it's comical to see the Yankees and Cashman bitch, because the Yankees are known cheaters, right? The Yankees are known cheaters. The Red Sox are known cheaters. The Dodgers have been known to, like, a lot of people are like, the Dodgers know our signs. They all do. Like, it just is what it is. Remember when Boston played New York a couple of years ago in London, and he said, oh, I forgot to change the signs, and I forgot they knew everything? Like, they all know. Everyone in baseball knew the Astros were cheating that year, too. You think people are that stupid? They just didn't say anything because they were cheating, too. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Wazoo got the cover. I tell you what, so 21-17, Utah survived. Game goes under the number. We had a miracle moneyline parlay. We had NC State and the Utah Utes on a moneyline parlay. I tell you what, we were tracking that NC State Va Tech game earlier tonight on the TV show, and me and Sherpan were talking about it, and the in-game total, guys, went down to 16.5. That game. It was three. It was scoreless until like the last like play of the first half, and NC State kicked a field goal to make it 3-0, and they ended up scoring 43 points. We did well tonight in college. Like, we jumped on Southern Mississippi, so we took Southern Miss, and we took the over 42.5, 39-24. That was like it sailed over. We had an NC State Utah Ute moneyline parlay, and I actually gave up on NC State, and they came back and won, and Utah survives. So we had a strong night tonight. Let's keep it rolling tomorrow. So as we stated, take the Houston Astros to win game one and win the series. Look it up at your book. You'll find it. It's plus 110, plus 105 in that area. I'm seeing plus 110s right now. I think the Astros win a game tomorrow, and I think they will win a series. You get them at plus 110. Lay -1.5 games, handicap series spread with the Houston Astros. And we're going to take them exact score. Astros to win in 5, plus 400. Astros to win in 6, plus 350. Justin Verlander to be the MVP at 10-1. And Jeremy Pena to be the MVP at 18-1. If I was going to play a Philadelphia Philly to be the MVP, I'd just ride the hot hand with Bryce Harper. Right? Because, it, you know, like if Harper doesn't play well, they're not going to win. It's as simple as that. Harper needs to play well and do what he's been doing for the Philadelphia Phillies. College football tomorrow night. Let's go ECU BYU.